Previously on Reckless Dice, our adventurers made it safely out of the Three Feathers Inn, but not before a few travails. Bernie found herself framed by Eliza the assassin. Dorinfin made a super convincing bed dummy and was applauded by all. And Maddie Patty lost out on 25 gold. After Dorinfin slayed Eliza with 3 well-placed arrows to her back, the adventurers were asked to join the Graven's retinue. Bernie finds herself the new barrister, Maddie Patty will cook, entertain, and keep the Graven merry, and Dorinfin has been named the Graven's new judicial champion, along with a promised purse of 40 gold crowns if victorious. They travel to Kemperbad to face a trial by combat. Welcome to Reckless Dice Live Play Sessions, where we explore the grim world of perilous adventure and Warhammer Fantasy roleplay. Tonight's adventure, A Day at the Trials, the second of 5 scenarios by Graham Davis from the adventure book Rough Nights and Hard Days. My name is Jesse Burke, and I'll be your host and GM this evening. Our cast of characters tonight include Layla Burke, playing Bernagut Kazma's daughter Ganvildgar, a rank 2 dwarven investigator.
Hey everyone.
Doug Beard, playing Madison Pattison, a rank 2 halfling thief slash entertainer slash cook slash merrymaker.
Hello, hello.
And Jay Miller, playing the newly promoted Doran Finslane, the rank 4 high elf judicial champion.
Hello.
All right, let's get ourselves started. So, my chair is further back than I thought. I almost sat on the ground. All right, Kemperbad. Kemperbad stands at the confluence of the rivers Reich and Stir. The town is perched on high cliffs above the two rivers, and a series of rope and pulley lifts convey travelers and their belongings from the wharfs to the town. I have a nice little picture here for you guys. The Nuln Road runs southwards from Kemperbad alongside the Reich, but it is not well serviced. A main road cuts through the Reichwald Forest from Kemperbad to Auerswald, then south to the Vobergland. It is one of the busiest roads in the Reichland, and also one of the most heavily tolled. Another major road heads northward along the Reichland bank from the River Reich, following the river's curve westward until it heads through the forest to Grunberg, and then heads north off to the capital of Altdorf.
This is Kemperbad?
That's Kemperbad. Cliffside town. Pulleys, rivers.
Jesus.
So, from the Three Feathers, the Graven Maria Ulreich and her party, which now include you guys, make your way to Kemperbad by the river. The lifts look daunting at first, but the Graven's staff handles things with remarkable efficiency, and the party soon finds itself in the town before they have time to reconsider their environment. Carts are hired to convey the party's baggage to a small mansion near the town center that the Graven has borrowed from a noble friend for her visit. The party has a day and 2 nights before the Graven's trial, giving you some time to go shopping and make any other necessary preparations. Now, Dorinfin, you have been offered the equipment previously owned by Bruno Falk, the now late judicial champion. His armor and weapons are available to you to use.
Okay.
So, for reference on what those are, you have available to you a suit of full plate armor.
Okay.
Which would be the equivalent of +5 to any armor points.
Cool.
He also has a rapier, which is a sword, which is and a Zweihander, which is a large two-handed sword.
Okay.
Those are the weapons at your disposal should you choose to use them.
I think I'll definitely take the armor.
Okay. And this is not yours to keep. This is the Graven's property that she is allowing you to use.
For the purpose of this?
For the purpose of you being her judicial champion. All right.
Cool.
Feel free and modify your stats appropriately. So, Kemperbad's courthouse.
Do I get anything off of the barrister?
He is dead.
He is dead.
Let me see what he's got here. He's got some lawyer's robes,
which
he was not wearing at time of death. So those are still around.
You better bet I'll be taking those.
Are they dwarven size though?
I'm gonna make it work. I'm gonna make it work.
You have time on the barge as you go up river to hem some seams.
There you go.
Yeah.
But let's not also forget the powdered wig.
You need to have the old George Washington.
Gotta have that thing.
And the most important part of all, the towering sense of self-importance.
Wow.
Yeah. Ooh.
All right. So we just had a little technical difficulty. We're rebooting. So Kemperbad's courthouse stands at the center of the town, opposite the council house. Kemperbad is a free town whose town council answers directly to the emperor and not the local noble. The council also has a number of local towns and villages, most notably the Brandenburg, whose Echte Brandenburger Brandy is wildly claimed to be the emperor's favorite. The wealth of the town and the power of the council is reflected in the impressive architecture of the courthouse and the council house. So, here's a quick introduction for you guys to get you started. The impending trial by combat is the talk of the town, and Baron Eberhard von Damenblatz, a noble of some distinction from Weissenburg, has accused Gravin Maria Ulrich von Liebowitz of Ambostein, the niece of Grand Countess Emanuela I, the Elector of Nuln. The Grand Countess is renowned for her parties, and Baron Eberhard's father, the Baron Otto von Damenblatz, died at one of the largest parties held during Nuln's famous Black Powder Week festival. Now his son is suing Gravin Maria Ulrich, claiming that she caused the Baron's death by poisoning or witchcraft. Now the Gravin claims the Baron drank himself unconscious, slumped his face into a punch bowl, and drowned. Now the case would normally be heard in Nuln, where the party in question took place, but the Baron von Damenblatz appealed successfully to move the trial to a neutral location. After all, Nuln is under the jurisdiction of the Grand Countess Emanuela, who is also named in the complaint. And after some legal wrangling, the plaintiff's lawyers have managed to persuade the magistrates of the free town of Kemperbad to hear the case. And in theory, at least, they should be impartial. Now, for her part, the Gravin Maria Ulrich appealed successfully to be granted her ancient right of trial by combat, thwarting von Damenblatz, who hoped to sway the jury and with lurid tales and low gossip about the goings-on at the Countess Emanuela's famous soiree in Nuln. Both nobles and their champions have arrived in Kemperbad, and preparations for the trial are underway. Now, you find yourself... with a day and two nights to get yourselves ready, is there anything you would like to do during the day you have to research and get yourself ready and prepared for the fight? And Doran Finn, did you have anything you wanted to do?
I wanted to try acquire an elf bow.
Okay, and I think the Gravin had offered to help you do that as part of it. So she sends out her agents and let's have you go ahead and make a just give me a roll. I've got a number in mind. She'll have some benefits. Okay, so 82 is not quite enough. You weren't able to find it. However, you learn more that an elven bow is something that would be like a piece of art that is like exchanged by individuals and nobles. It would probably be very difficult to find in a store. Maddie, what is your plans for the day?
Well, I need to get another piece of armor. I need to get a breastplate. Like a boiled leather breastplate.
Okay, that should be readily available as the Kemperbad is quite the merchant and trade town. I think a boiled breastplate is, what, 16 or so silver?
The last time I saw on the shelf, they were 18.
18. Yeah. All right, let's go for 18 then. That's it.
All right.
And anything else you're going
to
do today?
What I'd like to do is work on, I just recently became a thief. I'd like to work on one of my talents, the etiquette criminal talent. I would like to see if I can't find sort of the criminal underworld here in Kemperbad, like I have back home in Ubersreich with the Baron and my friends.
All right, so let's take a charm or a gossip roll and see what you come up with. Well, that's a killer roll. So you managed to find the Rinaldian cult of a gambling den rather quickly. It must be, I'm not sure if it's just your look or your mannerisms, but you half find them, they half find you. And you even see some friendly faces there. You see Glimbrin Oddsox, the gnome from the Three Feathers,
gambling with
some heavy pockets there.
Very nice.
And then, Bernie, what are your plans for the day?
So I would like to do two things. I would like to repair my leg chainmail armor that got damaged in the fight from the last session.
Okay, so you have 1 point of damage on that, right?
Yeah.
So that would be 10% the cost of the total, so that'll be 4 silver per armor point.
Okay.
That's easily achieved during the day.
Yeah, and then the second thing I'd like to do is research and brush up on, like, the law.
Okay. So you visit the courthouse for the day, and the courthouse, it's a solid 2-story stone building with a colonnaded front. It's got side passages to secure prisoners out to the cells into the back. And out in the front of the courthouse is a makeshift arena that's just starting to be constructed. And you see a pavilion on either side of the arena, one which is being erected with the green and white livery of the Damenblatz family, and another one on the opposite side with the magenta and yellow colors of the Graven. And as you enter the courthouse, a short flight of steps leads up from the square to a pair of wooden doors with stained glass windows displaying Kemperbad's coat of arms. And past the doors is a lobby with a marble floor and marble columns supporting the upper floor. Small rooms on either side accommodate a porter, 3 legal clerks, a small body of state soldiers assigned to protect the courthouse. A wide stone staircase leads up from the middle of the lobby to the upper floor. Upstairs, you find a gallery of suites and offices maintained by Kemperbad's legal guild, known as the Worshipful Company of Advocates, for the use of lawyers whose cases are being heard. There's also a comfortable lounge, an extensive law library, and a small chapel to Verena, the goddess of justice and wisdom. Now, in the law library, what are you looking for?
Like, really, just to understand the trial by combat. You know, if I can give Dorne Finn any kind of tips, that's probably what I'm looking for.
Well, this is what you learn, but first give me an intelligence roll, and let's see how much of this you can chew through in the day. All right, that's a solid roll, 18. All right, so under imperial law, nobles and others under certain circumstances can appeal for the right of trial by combat rather than face a jury. Now, many nobles and quite a few senior priests and influential merchants keep judicial champions among their retinues for this sole purpose. Now, the law surrounding a trial by combat is complex, and parts of it are very, very old, dating back to the legal duels of the early tribes that founded the empire. Further, there are diverse local variations and many subtle differences in how laws are applied, so it's always wise to research ahead of time. Now, depending on the severity of the charge, a trial by combat may be fought to first blood or until one combat can no longer continue. Now, for us in game terms, that means that no longer continue is being reduced to 0 wounds, and a first blood is a wound that does 3 or more damage. Now, typically, before a trial by combat begins, all parties take an oath that their causes are just, and they will respect the law regardless of the outcome. The combatants and their weapons would be inspected for poison, sorcery, or other trickery, and the priestess of Verena speaks a prayer as she walks around the designated ring, asking that the goddess of justice watch over the fight. Now, the parties and their champions normally have free choice of weapons, although most local laws prohibit missile weapons. Some law codes, usually very ancient and localized, are very specific for what weapons can be used. For example, in Ostland, in the village of Vendorf, for example, domestic disputes are settled by arming one spouse with a pot lid and a single turnip, and the other with a fist-sized stone and a sock. The group comes back together that evening. Is there anything else we want to do that day?
I mean, I'm going to convey to Dorinfin that he can't use his bow.
Yeah, I don't like that idea, but I think I got some backups for that.
All right.
All right, so the day continues. Evening rolls through, and then the next morning. 9 a.m., you are called in to the Graven's chambers if she'd like to speak with everybody in preparation for the trial day.
Gotta go.
So she says she would like to send you to observe the preparations for the trial. We've seen how low von Damenblatz will stoop. He may try to bribe or threaten one of the magistrates, or perhaps even tamper with the arena somehow. Or, well, you would know better than I do. Just keep your eyes open and trust no one. And above all, and she points to her champion, Dorinfin, look after this one. I've lost one champion already, and I can't afford to lose another on the day of the trial. And with that, she asks if she can help with anything before you head off to the courthouse. She, in particular, Dorinfin, asks you if there's anything she can do to help you at this point. Do you have all the equipment you need? What are you planning on fighting with?
I'm going to use the... I don't even know how you say the name of that thing.
Zweihander.
Zweihander, that.
Like, ein, zwei, ein, two.
Okay.
Zwei is two, so it's a two-hander. Two-handed
Zweihander.
Sword.
Okay, a Zweihander.
Zwei.
Zwei, okay.
Let's call it a two-handed sword.
Yeah, two-handed sword. We'll go with that. I'm going to use that as the weapon with the armor and...
Yeah, good old Bruno's plate armor.
Yeah.
Manages, it's a little, you're a little tall for it, but, you know, because it was originally built for a human, but it fits you.
Okay.
All right. So, that morning then, the group heads out to the courthouse. And here we have the courthouse and the arena pictures out front. You can already see the arena being built. We've got the Damenblatz in the green livery over here on my left, your right. And then we got the Graven's tent and everything on the opposite side. Okay, you arrive at the court to find an oval ring marked out with rope. A few workers are inside the rope, sprinkling sawdust on the cobbles to provide better footing and soak up any spilled blood. A wooden stand is being erected in front of the courthouse. Three ornate chairs in the middle are reserved for the town magistrates, and seating at either end of the stands is marked with the arms of Ambostine and von Damenblatz. At either end of the arena, servants are erecting the small pavilions for use by the two champions. And you see a variety of town watchmen of Kemperbad walking about and providing security around the courthouse as the crowds are just starting kind of to trickle in. And you notice that all of the guards you see all carry a similar set of scars on their face and on their forearms.
Huh. They look like they got them in fighting, or is this something like a marking of some sort?
Mm-hmm.
If they're all similar, I'm going to think that they're more of a marking.
Do you want to, like, this is from a distance. You'd probably need to, if you want to go any further, just let me know.
Yeah, can we walk into the arena? Can I walk into the arena and walk around it and, like, kind of just shuffle my feet and stuff, looking
familiarize yourself? So are you looking for anything, or...
Well, see if maybe, you know, there might be something hidden under this sawdust or anything, and check footing and...
So you spend some time scuffing about. Go ahead and make me a perception check. So you spend some time moving about. You get a couple odd looks from the servants who are preparing it, where they, like, have to come back after you scuff some stuff around and refill that area, but... Otherwise, you feel comfortable that it is entirely stone, and things are still under construction.
Okay.
Now, sometime later, the champions' pavilions have finished being raised, and servants begin carrying in furnishing and equipment, armor stands, weapon racks, and some other light furnishings. And groups of people in front of the stands start to accumulate. Two men and women wearing magistrates' robes emblazoned with Kemperbad's town crest. There's also a fourth dressed in a lawyer's court garb, and they all begin to congregate in front of the wooden stands. There's also several clerks to either side of the small group making notes as the others talk. And one of them begins to look around at the Ambostine pavilion area, looking for the legal representation of the Ambostine party.
That would be me.
That would be you. Yeah. And they notice you and gesture for you to come over. Now, what are you wearing today?
I have managed to hem the robes that I took off of the dead barrister, so I've got that on. I have not so much the wig.
You do look like you're, of course, a dwarf in this setting, but also, you know, you're kind of a dwarf in the costume of the humans. It's an odd sight, but they take it for what it is, and they call you over. And what they are discussing is they are talking about the procedural details of the trial, and they discuss that the bout will begin at noon, and will last until one champion is unable to continue, and they will be enforcing the traditional rules of trial by combat in regards to weaponry.
Okay.
Meaning no missile weapons.
Now, is there any wiggle room in that regard?
They immediately say no. However, since you did research some ahead of time into the books for the day, let's go ahead and give me a D100 roll, and let's see if anything lucky happens here.
65.
They ensure that any legal counsel of the Baroness would likely know that missile weapons are strictly out of order here, so no.
Mm-mm.
All right.
Now, what if they were not to be used as a missile weapon?
Like if he were to use hand-to-hand combat with the bow?
Yeah.
That would be permissible, but no arrows would be allowed.
Okay.
So as things are getting set up, you also see food being brought out, carts and crates, and you even see a series of boxes and crates and goods for some construction being set up along the walls of the side of the courthouse as more and more people then begin kind of working their way in. Local businessmen, you see servants, you see peasants, you see other merchants and noblemen. This is going to be quite the spectacle. This is a rather rare occurrence.
Now, what if he didn't use arrows, but there was something inside? Could he use whatever is available inside the arena as...
They say they would have to consult their documentation on what would be appropriate there, but one of them says that could be possible.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, trying to get it in there for you.
All right. So meanwhile, Doran Finn, your pavilion has been completed. This is your like outhouse, not an outhouse, but like your little prep room.
Okay.
For it. And you, that is where your armor has been brought and your weapons. And there's also, ostensibly a variety of other things to prepare you for battle in the small tent. Now if I could get a perception check from, let's call it from Maddie, since you're the one kind of cruising the crowd right now.
Succeed.
All right, you notice another familiar face from the Three Feathers. You notice Miss Ursula Kopfgeld.
Ursula, the bounty hunter that beat the last champion in an arm wrestling competition.
A good memory. She approaches one of the magistrates. This is after you've moved away, Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
Approaches one of the magistrates after their conversation with the lawyers. And she speaks to one of the male magistrates. And the conversation appears to grow heated. He signals two guards who approach with their halberds at the ready. And Ursula stops the conversation and strides off fuming back into the crowd.
Hmm.
Now, as work continues on the stands, part of one of the railings collapses. There are some minor injuries, but nothing serious. However, as the accident makes a lot of noise, every head turns to see and watch. Um, Now, let's see. This one's going to go for... All right, I need Miss Manny Patty. You are... We are doing an opposed roll here. Not going to tell you why yet, but
what
I need
skill?
A top of your perception. I want to know the success levels.
A success level? Come on, baby. Negative one.
All right. You have no idea what just happened then.
I heard the sound, but I don't know what else happened.
Yep, you saw this. You saw one of the railings collapse, and someone got some bruises and bumps, and that is all.
Does it just look like shoddy work? Can I go inspect it, or does this look like it's been sabotaging?
You go and check, and things look hard to tell. It's already broken at this point, but you know the workers.
I don't see
starting...
something's been half sawn through, or
not with your that this is all accounted for in your perception roll.
So it's a little late for that.
Yeah, whatever you think you might have saw, it didn't show up and didn't even occur to you at the time, unfortunately, but. Things seemed all on the up and up.
If I am over there and there's a crowd, are there any loose purse strings lying around? Because that's what I do.
Well, let's see, that we can do. You're going to go, who are you targeting?
You know, here's the thing.
Give me like a class of people.
Everybody's looking that way. I'm done looking that way. I'm going to look this way and probably look in class two.
Like merchants?
Yeah, at least.
All right, give me a opposed, so this is a sleight of hand roll.
Yep. Neg one.
You find yourself with 10 silver shillings in your hand.
Oh my.
I will casually slink back into the crowd and slip that into the old pouch.
Alright, Dorinfin, what are you up to right now as the pre-combat rituals are beginning? What is Dorinfin's judicial champion's pre-combat ritual?
Getting my mind set for what I'm about to do. And maybe pacing some floors.
Now, is that going to be within the arena? Is that inside of your pavilion?
Inside of that pavilion.
All right.
I'm not paying attention to anything going on outside.
All right. So, you work your way into the pavilion. And it's like a tented pavilion. There's a seat in there for you. There's a weapon rack with your armor. An armor rack with your armor, a weapon rack with your weapon. And there's a variety of weapons, such as the sword, the spyhander, the rapier. And there's also like a wash bucket, some rags, there's some bandages, a variety of things just to kind of cater to a combatant. But you begin focusing yourself. Bernie, meanwhile, what are you doing outside?
I'm going to mingle with the other barristers and just kind of listen to their conversation, see if I can soak up anything that, you know, might prove useful.
You find that the intricacies of the Empire's law systems are wildly inefficient and multi-layered in a way that seems like everything could get bogged down in just the most trivial of nuances.
Mm-hmm.
There's a like the you find lawyers discussing different cases that have this different outcomes, even though the circumstances were the same, just because one person was able to pull a string on some noble or pay somebody off, or even just conflicting results left and right. And half the cases end up getting bogged in the court and stay there perpetually because mm-hmm. the courts are overrun with work.
Okay.
But as the stands outside are completed, the servants hang the curtains while others position chairs and bring cushions. Whoever's outside is allowed to make a perception check.
Am I outside or inside?
So it's a matter of you if you want to be inside the courthouse or you want to be out by the arena. Dorinfin's inside the pavilion at this point. Maddie's out... kind of mingling in the crowd.
Right, out with the crowd and the broken stands. Two success levels.
Two. That'll work. So you notice that there are two servants who are bringing up these cushions for everybody to sit on the magistrate's benches.
And that's this little area up in here.
Yep, up here. And one of them... among those bringing cushions, they speak briefly to a liveried official who then points them to a space just to the right of the Graven's chair, and they leave the cushion there.
Can I walk over and casually ask them? Or are they wandering away, I assume?
So at this point, they've walked back into the crowd.
Another job or whatever. Can I bump over and chat with them and see whose cushion they just dropped off?
That would be secret. They look at you and they kind of are startled to see that someone's even asking them. And they say, who are you? That's none of your business.
I work with the Graven.
Mm-hmm. They say, well, good day to you then. And they attempt to walk off into the crowd.
Fair enough. Okay. Kind of curious what they're up to. Can I follow?
You can, though they are working their way away from the arena.
Okay.
All right, so 10:30 rolls around.
In the a.m.
So we have an hour and a half until go time. Are we, like, center of town, stores around, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
I'd like to spend the next hour and change and whatever it takes to get to it. Maybe find a local herbery, poultice shop. I'll pick up a few poultices and maybe some bandages that might be necessary here in the next hour and a half, 2 hours.
Patch up the big guy.
You know, yeah.
All right, that happens. And, you know, so Doran Finn, you've got an hour and a half still before before the fight is ready to begin. What else are you going to be doing? Are you going to spend the whole time in the pavilion or are you going to walk around? Maybe go buy some supplies with Maddie?
Sure, I'll accompany him in buying some supplies.
All right. So the two of you walking around looking for some herbs and supplies and poultices. And as you're working your way through the crowds, a mob of street urchins, tired of waiting for the trial to begin, starts to scuffle amongst themselves. And a few moments later, two of them begin fighting in earnest. And one breaks away with several of his fellows in hot pursuit. Apparently, by chance, he runs right into you, Dorinfin. Seconds later, the whole mob of pursuing urchins does the same thing.
What?
Boom, 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 as they kind of just run past you, bumping into you. Now, you need to make a perception check. Very hard, minus 30.
Minus 30? That's a fail.
That's a fail. You gain the surprise condition. Let me see if I can get you one of those here. Surprise.
You had to go walking around.
I know, right? I should have just stayed in there.
all right, you, my friend, are... So surprised is going to give me what bonuses against you? Surprise, surprise, surprise.
You gain 20.
I gain 20. All right. And you do not get to retaliate against the three knife attacks that are coming at your legs.
Three knife attacks?
First one hits, second one fails to hit, but it's a fumble. And the last one also fails. You are hit once in your... Which leg? Let's go with your... I'm going to roll until I get a leg here. Your left leg is hit for 5 damage.
Dude.
That's negated then.
Okay,
don't
so
take anything.
So you take one. You always take at least one. Oh. Unless it's an undamaging weapon.
He's trying to kill me before we even get to this.
Do I see
As
this?
They bump and buffet their way past the target, the three attacks are made targeting your legs. And then the group of urchins, small, quick, and street rise, probably knowing every alley, every gap between two buildings, and every hole in the wall and fence in the whole town of Kemperbad, run off into the alleyways.
Now, am I standing close enough to see all this?
Yeah.
I literally just walked out of a store with healing supplies, and he got attacked in the street right in front of me. Wow. Okay.
All right. As you sit there and contemplate that...
I'm heading back to the pavilion at this
all right,
point.
So yeah. you let him go.
I'm with Dorinfin. I'll follow him, and I'll act tough and be his little protector.
All right.
Are you, like, swearing and cursing humans as you go?
Yes. I am very upset right now.
He's like, I don't need any of this crap. I'm going to go back to Wolf One. All right. So you work your way back to the arena, and you find Glimbrin there. Glimbrin's going to spectate. This will be our spectator area.
Do I lose this now?
Yes. Yeah, you're no longer surprised. Okay. Just the street urchins trying to stab you.
How is an angry elf?
I know.
And Glimbrin sees you guys and kind of asks for the update on, like, what are you guys doing in Kemperbad? I wasn't expecting to see you here. But you can see he's got a little bit of a wry smile with that.
Are you guys going to tell him?
We are here to support the Graven. Dorinfin is going to be her champion in the battle, upcoming battle. Shouldn't he know this?
Yeah, wouldn't he know that
in the
from
crowd?
The, yeah,
I mean,
yeah, well, know they all know what we're here
he's
for.
He's just trying to shoot the shit with you guys. Jesus. well, at that as that goes on, you guys chit chat for a while.
So is he the only one in the stands, or are there just many people?
He's not in the stands. He's just kind of hanging out around the arena perimeter. Just kind of. It's 10:45 now, and the Von Demmenblatt's party arrives, led by the drummer boy and a servant carrying the family's banner. It consists of Baron Eberhardt on horseback, and then most of this is being relayed to you by Glimbrin, who knows who most of these individuals are, since you may not know them by name. It is also his widowed mother, the Dowager Baroness Violetta, riding in a sedan chair, and also his champion, Heinrich Botcher, and a dozen or so footmen and other servants. And they take their places to the left of the magistrates. And let me get the magistrates out there, since we are now forming up the seats. So you guys will be down here. These are the observers. Here's the watchmen.
Are the watchmen ours? I hope.
Yeah.
Because he came with his own army.
They belong to the courthouse. Yeah.
Okay. But these guys are technically our guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the same watch we were part of at one time.
Different town.
City.
Different city, yeah. But yeah, this would be roughly the equivalent, and probably, in theory, not as corrupt. In theory. Now, Botcher takes a moment to acknowledge the crowd's cheers before heading to his pavilion. However, as he does so, he flinches for a moment before pulling a small feathered dart from the leather of his breeches. Baron Von Demmenblatt hurries to his champion's side, followed by a liveried junior official. And it appears that an attempt has been made to injure or even kill the Baron's champion. Now, Von Demmenblatt loudly claims that someone of the Ambostine party is behind this attempt, probably acting on the orders of their unscrupulous mistress. He points to the adventurers, you guys, and anyone else in the Ambostine livery, and insists that they all be searched forthwith. Now, the watch members come up and gather everybody before the stands, and ask everybody to come up to be inspected.
I mean, I protest. What, just because this man is saying we're the ones who did it, that's enough to believe that we're the ones who did it? Don't we have any rights in our personal persons?
The magistrates stand and announce that that if you truly have nothing to hide in this sacred ceremony that we have here, let it be done with and exposed, and we can move on with our day.
I'm going to look to the Graven. Is the Graven even outside yet?
The Graven's party has not arrived yet.
You know, yeah. I've been framed once before, and now I'm nervous that, like, that somebody's...
We're getting framed.
So
again.
I start patting myself down, like,
yeah. I'm thinking I need
Bernie,
to do the same
Bernie,
thing,
because... Bernie, you do that, and you are comfortable that there is nothing on your person that you do not otherwise, no.
Okay.
I got a sneaky feeling I don't know something's on me by some people going around and by.
Yeah, you should check yourself.
I need to check myself.
You start patting yourself down because you haven't donned your armor yet. So, you know, you pat yourself down. You're comfortable that whatever you brought with you is still on you, and whatever you didn't bring with you is not on you.
Okay.
I see these two patting each other down or patting themselves down. I might as well check as well.
You check your pockets, you check your back pocket, your front pocket, you check your pouch, but your pouch feels a little bit thicker.
Okay. I'll pull out, open it up.
All right, you open it up, and this is, like, in plain view. Not much of a
choice.
It's going
to be plain view of somewhere, so
all right.
Open it up.
You open it up, and there is a small wallet in your... in your pouch.
What?
That sounds like me.
And you small leather wallet, which you open up, And it contains a slot for 4 darts.
Let me guess, one is missing.
One is missing.
Oh, you best replant that somewhere else.
All right.
I know, right?
So, well, now, you also recognize, I'm standing out in the open, I assume.
You also recognize a particular greenish, yellowish sheen to the tips of the darts that you
kill again. Oh. Interesting. Okay. Well, we already know who uses heart kill, but not only do I, because of my acute sense of taste, I'll test one real quick. Just make sure this is exactly what I know.
You don't even need
to.
You get it close enough, you can smell it.
Okay. I remember it from last time. So, okay. I know what it is.
No.
I don't know where it specifically came from, but I have a good idea.
Who cares? Plant it on the other people.
You are immediately abducted by the guards.
Oh. Ooh,
again. Okay.
Damn it.
And
happens.
Marched off to one of the cells inside of the courthouse.
Okay.
Stripped of all equipment and locked up. Your equipment's nearby. And the Graven will face some questions after the trial is over regarding your conduct.
Call the gang.
Good luck.
Now,
Dorfin.
As you are walking away, another individual is spotted in the crowd. And this guy will be in the crowd here. It is a rather ostentatious and impressive looking witch hunter. You don't need to ask him if he's a witch hunter. It is obvious by his attire. He has a plumed hat that is enormously impressive and feathered. He is a rather aged witch hunter, but he is standing about and is observing the crowd, looking for somebody in particular, but he doesn't look like he's found them quite yet.
So I see him, and then...
Then you're carted away.
Okay.
All right, you make your way into the cells, and you're locked up in there, and you find...
Manacled or just in a room?
You're in a room, and you're in a room with another individual whose name I need to find here. Should be just a second. It is... I think that's it. No. There it is. So you find yourself in a cell with a man who introduces himself as Alfonso Coppin, and he's kind of resting on his back on one of the wooden boards, just kind of chilling and waiting for something to happen. He seems cool as a cucumber in here.
I have no fear. I don't feel like there's any danger, as it were. Let me ask, is he manacled? Does he have leg irons, or is he just kind of kicking it?
He's just kicking it in the cell.
Okay. But am I afraid of him? Do I get any sense if I should be worried about this guy?
He gestures to you like, hey.
He's just
kicking. You already know this guy is well-versed in the realm of crime.
He's been
You can
here.
Just tell just by his
I did just work on the criminal etiquette. That's a good point.
Yeah, if you want to strike up some conversations with him, we can save that for a little bit. But that's where you find yourself, sitting in a cell with Alfonso.
What's he look like?
Alfonso is a thin, tanned individual. He's got a small goatee and a wax-twisted mustache. His hair is slicked back and oiled.
He's human, I assume.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He speaks with a Tilian accent, which would be kind of the modern-day equivalent of, like, Italy.
Sure.
All right. 11 a.m., the Graven Maria Ulreich arrives, and with her own retinue of servants and hired guards. Now, Matthias Hubkind, the witch hunter, you can see him studying the Graven intently, as if searching for something. Now, as Maria Ulreich approaches, she goes to sit at her spot on the benches, and she gestures for Bernie for you to come and join her in the seat next to her.
Okay, yeah. I'll go over there.
All right, and there's a nice cushioned seat there for you, and you go ahead and plop yourself down.
I will take a look at the cushion, maybe poke at it a little bit. I don't know.
Give me a perception check.
Like, do I have any, like, gadgets that could help me? I have a telescope. Like, I'll examine it closely. You said perception?
It does seem like a suspicious pillow.
I mean, you just don't know anymore. There are, like, needles with poison
you notice,
everywhere.
You notice that yours is the only seat with a cushion, actually.
See?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
I succeed.
You do succeed. Nice. All right, you examine your cushion, thus noting that yours is the only seat with a cushion. And you poke around, and you notice just a slight little glint from the sun that there's something metal right in the center.
I knew it!
Case solved.
Okay.
I love it. The waveform on our recording is like.
It goes from a nice steady mellow to whoa, we're way up here now.
There it is.
But does it also have a glint of green on it? Because I don't.
Well, are you picking the cushion up till I get it closer?
Yeah.
Yeah, you pick it up. And you kind of like...
I'm not going to sit on it now.
You can like depress the cushion a little bit to reveal there's a needle embedded vertically in it that if someone were to sit on it, they would get poked by this and it has a greenish yellow tint to it.
I'm going
to
gasp really loudly.
And the Graven looks and... What is it?
There's poison in my cushion.
And she like takes a deep breath. You can hear her eyes roll. And like, and she grabs the cushion and just... flings it like onto the ground and like she's like this, it doesn't end. And you can hear the frustration in her voice that this is like a non-stop vendetta against her.
Well, I'm gonna bring this to the court's attention.
The magistrates?
Sure.
What do you say?
I say there is a needle here with seemingly the same poison on it that was just found on our friend Maddie Patty.
Well, it's a good friend. So the magistrate says with some authority, it's a good thing that we've just apprehended him. And he'll be questioned, and so will all interested parties after the trial by combat.
I want the other party searched. My friend would not put a needle, poison needle, in my cushion.
Well, I'm sorry, I can't... They say this is a matter for after the trial by combat.
Just a quick question, just because... Based on the location of the cells and the windows, and then this is where the trial's happening, can I see... I mean, I know I probably can't hear anything, but can I at least, like, get up on top of the bed?
Yeah, like, there's some, like, vertical bars.
So I can
bars,
watch
you
what's
can, like,
happening. Yeah, I want to see him fight.
Yeah, yeah, you can
see. Can I yell some encouragement? And,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Go get him, Charlie!
Kick his ass! Yeah.
You can do it!
And you also see a variety of crates and boxes piled up in front of your wall.
Oh, like directly in front of the window?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, so... you do not suffer from the poisoning, and you do not die, and your face does not get swollen and black and bloody with frothing, spilling things coming out of your nose and lips.
Whoa! Okay!
So,
I think
so the Graven, of course, assumes along with you that the attempt of her barrister's life comes from the Baron von Damenblatt's party. She complains along with you to the magistrates who deliberate for a few minutes before ruling that her complaint against von Damenblatt is a separate case, which must be heard after the trial by combat. Meanwhile,
I make also a mental note to myself that the assassin that Damenblatt was using, Eliza, right? We killed her, so now there's somebody else, like, that's doing his bidding.
Eliza was part of a bigger group, so...
Yeah, well, so either there's a group or, like, somebody's running around planting things.
Dornfin can tell you that he was attacked in the street, so... Not right. By poison, though.
Yeah.
No, not by poison. Like, you... Obviously, somebody got your purse...
Yeah.
So.
And I thought I was the one being slick, stealing all the money.
Right. Okay. Well, anyway.
That for reference, that was the perception check that you missed earlier on. Somebody pocketed something on you.
Bastards.
Mm. Okay. 11:15 rolls around, flanked by two watchmen. A herald in the town's livery marches into the ring and blows three flourishes on a trumpet. That's my trumpet.
Oh, good.
That's pretty good.
Hear ye, he cries. Order and silence for their worshipfulness, eminences, Magistrate Hans Richter, Magistrate Hanna Anwalt, and Assistant Magistrate Gerhard Urtriel. The hubbub around the ring begins to die down a little as the town's three magistrates take their seats. Let's see, we'll put the watchman out here. We've got the Graven over here. We've got this guy over here. We've got him over here. All right. Here's the watchman. Ursula's gone. See, anybody else out here yet? We'll turn these all right side forward so I can see them all. Okay. Where'd it go? Oh, there it is. So the crowd is starting to grow restless as the herald blows another blast of the trumpet. Hear ye, he cries. In the matter of the noble Baron Eberhard von Damenblatz of Weissenberg against the noble Graven Maria Ulrich von Liebwitz of Ambostein, concerning the death of the late noble Baron Otto von Damenblatz, let the parties and their champions come forth and be duly sworn. The two nobles and their champions enter the ring, where they are joined by the town's high priestess of Verena, Mother Petra Steinmetz. After a momentary pause where she carefully examines each champion, she then administers the Oath of Verity, the first step in the preparations for the trial. I swear before all assembled here and in the sight of Verena that my cause is just and my case is truthful. I swear that I shall abide forever by the result of this trial, seeking no other remedies and pursuing no other means, and my appeal to Verena's judgment should be unsuccessful. May all-knowing Verena strengthen the hand that is true and see justice prevail. This I swear. And she looks to each of the champions to repeat, I swear.
I swear.
All right. As does the other champion. Now...
we dance.
How does the other champion look? Is he sickly?
Isn't that him?
No, I know, but he just got stabbed in the belly with a poison dart that I got blamed for. I don't know if he looks poisoned.
That's a good point.
I mean, I'm looking at him like, hey.
He's sweating.
Okay.
He's sweating. A little gray under the collar. I'm going to leave this one to Bernie or to Dorinfin to make an opposed perception check.
Like it.
Against somebody.
What's your perception?
60.
Oh, okay.
That's awesome.
All right, then.
Yeah, all right. Successful by 2.
All right, you don't notice what just happened.
I don't notice. Plus two. How is I successful and don't notice
it's
it?
It's an opposed roll. So
you scored more than a 2?
Maybe I did.
Wow.
Damn.
Huh.
This will be fun. Okay. So the oaths are sworn. The herald blows another flourish of the trumpet, and the nobles return to their seats in the stands. Liveried court officials inspect the two champions and their equipment, and after a few minutes, they stand before the magistrate and declare that nothing untoward has been found. The magistrates respond with a wave of their hand, and the trumpet sounds again. The champions retire to their pavilions to prepare themselves. Dorinfin, you go back into your pavilion. And what are you doing? Tell me you're getting yourself ready.
Yeah, well, I'm obviously going to have to put the armor on, or am I already in the armor?
I guess technically it was assuming you were in your armor already. Okay. But let's say you've got your armor and you've got your weapon.
I'm getting hyped up.
Doing
your
stretches.
Yep.
You hear...
Yeah, those are the stretches he's doing.
Yeah. While dancing around a little bit.
Yeah. You hear something moving amongst the bags and boxes and folds of your tent.
Ooh.
Something animalistic, and it has a particular...
Is it a snake?
I'm going to grab my sword. Obviously.
All right, it sounds like it's coming from behind a box and some bags in one corner of the tent.
And I'm going to slither with my sword up into that.
Or you, like, start moving some bags. And
yeah.
Part, and you see the tail of a rather large snake kind of, like, slink its way behind a piece of furniture.
Okay.
And it, like, it hisses, and you can hear that kind of, like, aggressive hiss that a snake has when it's being kind of pressured or pushed into a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like just a snake that hisses. It has that, like... Yeah, like it's a mouth open.
It's an aggressor.
It's a viper.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. And it is. Let's get a quick round of attacks here.
Okay.
Give me. What's your initiative?
55.
All right. You are distinctly faster than it, so you have a chance. But it's hiding underneath like a little bureau, and it is ready to kind of strike out.
Okay. So I'm attacking it.
With what?
My sword.
All right, yeah. Go ahead and give me an attack roll. -4.
Good, and that's going to be a crit.
Okay. You crit it. Give me an idea how much damage we're looking at.
That's going to be 9.
9 damage. All right.
Yeah, because I was dead on my number.
All right, you stab it, and you start to get a sense of how large this viper actually is. And I'm going to put this guy out here to represent our viper.
Okay.
So this is a thick, like, python-esque viper. It takes a hit getting damaged quite substantially, but that's not all this thing packs. This thing leaps back out at you, curling its way around your blade and leaping out to try and grab at you. Another opposed roll.
Take that.
All right, it leaps up, snaps in thin air just shy of your face as you then manipulate your blade in a fancy way to get yourself out of damage. Go ahead and go again.
Yeah, by
no problem.
3.
You twist your blade, cutting the snake in half as it falls down to the ground dead, bleeding out on the ground.
Okay. I'm going to grab the dead half of the snake and I'm going to throw it out of the thing into the arena. Yeah.
All right, so it's like a 2-foot-long section of, like, body and head, which is still kind of, like, writhing and doing that, like, snake turn
yeah.
thing it does when a snake dies.
Okay.
And you hear the crowd go, like, oh!
Yeah.
Ooh, ah! And the crowd outside is, like, the crowd's loving it. They're like, wow, this is so exciting! But, like, you can hear the Graven, like, she's concerned. She's like, oh, gee, what is that? Is that a snake? What is happening? Well, that could have been nasty if you got bit by it, by the way.
I kind of thought so.
Look at us dodging all the bullets. Except for Maddie.
Except me.
Who really should have known better as a thief than to, in the open, be like, what is this?
Okay. All right. Let me go in the tent and look, see what I got first.
I know.
Yeah. As the champions prepare, the High Priestess of Arena walks around the perimeter of the ring, accompanied by 2 acolytes. She sprinkles the sawdust with blessed oil and chants a succession of prayers intended to prevent any attempts to interfere with the bout. One of her servants very carefully goes by and grabs the back end of the snake and kind of drags it off and disposes of it, and there's a nice little streak of snake blood along the way.
Wait, do you still have the snake head?
No, that's what he flung out into the
arena. Oh, because it could have had some, like, poison on it.
That would have been a fun one to, like, grab its head and be like, sword in one hand,
yeah.
snake head in the other. All right. The clock chimes noon. I'm not going to do 12, but... The herald re-enters the ring and blows his trumpet again. And silence falls as he turns to the magistrates in the stand, who nod their permission that the trial may commence. Sigmar agrees. Sigmar, chill. Hear ye," he cries. "In the matter of the noble Baron Ebenhart von Damenblatt, Lord of Weissenberg, against the noble Graven Maria Ulrich von Liebowitz, Baroness of Ambostein and Lady of Nuln, concerning the death of the late Baron Otto von Damenblatt, Lord of Weissenberg, let the champions come forth and let the trial begin." The 2 champions come out of their pavilions to face off. And the magistrate, Richter, raises a white handkerchief in the air, and for a long moment, all is hushed. And he lets the handkerchief fall, and the fight is on. So.
Kick his ass, Ornfin! Go get him!
The crowd is silent at first as the two fighters on either side prepare themselves for their first engagement.
Stick him with the pointy end!
Did you say yours was a 55? Your initiative?
Yes.
Okay, so you you get to go first.
Okay.
What are you doing here? Hold on, you're just swinging in midair.
Yeah, I'm just gonna straight up.
You guys are starting on opposite sides of the arena. Let's have some. You have to charge into combat first.
Okay.
Okay, so charging into combat is something you can do that gives you you get the benefit of an advantage right off the bat.
Okay. I didn't need it. Okay, well,
no, but
I
you
guess.
Get it. Take your time.
Okay.
All right, he rolls a -2.
I'm +1 then.
+1. All right, so go ahead and... So that's a span of 3, so how much damage are we looking at? As you swing in with your first...
That would be...
Actually,
advantage.
I'm sorry. Hold on. He can use his dodge. That's better. He gets a 0.
Okay, so then it's going to be 10.
10? All right. You smash at him, and he is wearing a full suit of plate armor. He's got his sword in hand. He's got a little counter dagger in his other hand. He takes 1 point of damage. In return, he approaches you with his sword and does a kind of a testing attack here to kind of probe your weaknesses. That's going to be plus...
A 3.
Oh, and you also get +1 advantage for the successful
close
combat. +4. He has a +5 on his attack. So you lose your advantage and he gains one. So let me take one of those. Okay, and you are hit for... let's see. He's at +1 from yours. So you are hit for 11 points of damage.
And so the damage is my.
So you're
going to
take
armor.
Away the and you get hit in the chest.
Okay, so it's the armor and then what?
Toughness bonus.
And toughness bonus. So I'm going to take. What'd you say it was going to be?
10.
10. So I take 1.
Or did I say 11?
11. 11. So then I take 2.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Round 2 begins.
Okay.
All right, you have initiative. He is going to attempt to dodge.
Success of 2.
Positive 7.
Ooh. Positive 7? Wow, okay.
He deftly dodges. You're getting the quick impression that he is a skilled fighter.
Okay.
All right, he returns back. That's a winning... Can you bring the advantages over here since I might need a few of those? He returns back with a vote of confidence in an aggressive attack against you.
Okay.
6 -3, -1.
-1.
-1, all right. That is. So then we go to who has a higher weapon skill, right?
Mm-hmm.
So his is 68.
Oh, I'm 51.
All right, so he wins that attack. And you are looking at 10 damage.
Ouch.
Doesn't take anything.
You still take 1 at least.
I still take 1.
So much for your poultices. They're with you in the prison cell.
I can't get out of here.
All right.
Okay.
That is the end of round 2. Maddie, outside of the prison, as you're sitting there on the bars, looking outside... You smell something burning. And you hear a distinct...
Have I noticed any sort of... I don't know what to call it, furniture, a bed, or anything in the cell that I can quickly hide behind close to the door?
You,
knowing what's coming.
You scurry over to the other side.
And I'll stir the man as well. We need to get away from the window.
He gets up with confidence and gets over and takes the board that he was lying on and kind of positions it in front of the two of you. And moments later... Hold on, I lost my spot. Moments later, there is an almighty explosion of fairly epic proportions as the back of the courthouse explodes. The ground is rocked, and several hundred yards away, some of the more precarious buildings perched upon the cliff sides of Kemperbad fall loose and into the Reich below. There is a sharp intake of collective breath as the fiery plume rolls into the heavens. The magistrates, as they gather their wits, frantically signal for the bout to be stopped, and the herald intervenes, blowing his trumpet and yelling for the champions to return to their pavilions immediately.
Okay.
Now, the scarred watchmen from around the square run into the courthouse, and the guards flanking the stands escort the three magistrates inside, while everyone else either scrambles for a view of the damage or simply stands there unsure of what just happened. Bernie, what do you do?
When the explosion happens, I mean, watch.
All right. Now, Maddie, you find yourself presented with quite a large hole in the wall in front of you of the cell. And Alfonso tips his pretend hat at you and says, maybe we'll meet again. And he kind of jaunts off and disappears through the smoke out into the crowd.
I will follow.
You follow and find yourself back out in the arena amongst the crowd. Nice. Moments later, the guards spill in and order starts to get reestablished as the smoke and the dust clears and everybody is able to take a sense of the damage of what just happened. 12:15. The magistrates and guards return and signal the herald, who announces that the bout should recommence and calls the two champions from their pavilions. An excited rumor runs through the crowd that the criminal gang tried to blow up the courthouse to free a prisoner who was imprisoned there. But the details seem to vary wildly as to what actually happened.
Could I attempt a heal before we go back out?
You are back in your tent. You certainly may.
Okay.
So give me a good old dexterity check, unless you have a heal check.
I have a heal check, and that's a success.
All right.
So it says that on there I heal the equivalent to my intelligence bonus plus...
Success levels.
Oh, success levels was dead on.
Okay, so then just your 10's value of your intelligence.
So 4. So then I'm back to full health then?
All right.
Okay, cool. All right, nice. That worked.
The Now, Bernie, you and the Graven hear some rumors while you're up on the stands of what may have just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Some say the escape was successful. Others that everyone involved was killed. Some say the back wall of the courthouse was brought down. Others that the explosion caused no damage. Some say the criminal was a murderer. Others a racketeer. Others even still say they are certain that he was actually a washerwoman accused of witchcraft who escaped by means of some kind of spell. But the one thing for certain is nobody really has any idea what exactly happened in the commotion.
That becomes evident to me, yes. I mean, I don't feel like this is a prime time to go investigate things, so...
So the two champions come forth again, and the magistrate drops his handkerchief again to restart the bout.
Okay.
Having the initiative, you get to go first again. Charging into combat, you get, don't forget, you get your advantage for charge.
Then I succeeded with no success level.
Put it away there. He I don't know if you maintain your advantage through once combat's over. I'm gonna say no.
I don't think so.
So he neutrals out.
Okay.
So he's at 0.
Okay.
That means you won that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, what kind of damage are we looking at?
Oh, then it's going to be with the 0, it's gonna be 9.
9 damage. All right. He most of that gets deflected off his armor, but he is slightly damaged. All right. He comes back at you, feeling confident in his abilities now that he's tested you out for a few rounds. Oh, you're screwed.
Oh, no.
Plus 3. All right. That gives him a positive of 2, which means you're looking at 12 damage. And an advantage for him. He smiles and grins at you menacingly. And the crowd cheers as each successful hit lands. You can tell this is as much a spectacle sport as it is an actual law hearing of combat. All right, you're up.
Success level of 1.
Success of 6. He keenly deflects your blow. You lose your advantage. And he comes back at you with a heavy swinging blow.
Oh, yeah. Success by...
-1.
7.
All right, -1. All right, he comes at you. You have no problem deflecting that blow to the side. He loses all of his advantage. You gain 1.
Okay.
Let's see, that was... How many turns of combat did we just do? 2?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
2. Yeah.
Matthias, I'm still dazed from the explosion. Yeah. Sorry.
Matthias Hubkin, the witch hunter, edges around the outside of the ring, trying to get closer to the spot where Gravin Maria Ulreich sits in the stands.
I'm still near her, right?
You're sitting right next to her.
Okay, I'm gonna. Do I notice?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to keep an eye on him.
When he is more or less in front of the magistrates, something horrific happens. Sawdust begins to fly into the air as a greenish-white flame erupts from the ground between the two champions. Oops, I lost my spot where I was reading from.
Is that where the snake was?
No, it's more or less in the middle of the arena. When he is more champions, the crowd draws back. There are screams, and some are trampled, but a shape begins to form within the flame. A distorted image of a man is in the center of the flame, wavering as though seen through a heat haze, his eyes bulging and his mouth open in a perpetual scream, and the figure flies out at the witch hunter, trying to lock its insubstantial fingers around his neck. And as it does so, the herald blows the trumpet again, signaling for the bout to stop once more. A ghost. The figure is a ghost, so says the book. The ghost and the witch hunter... Let me get the witch hunter out here. You can see he's up here by the stands now. The ghost and the witch hunter... struggle for a moment before Kemperbad's High Priest of Mor gains his wits and begins to intone a prayer to try and vanquish the unrighteous spirits. The witch hunter draws forth a gleaming silver sword as he begins to try and push away the spirit, cursing it for its unnatural being. What do you guys do?
Watch.
I'm going to attempt to heal.
I'm just going to skulk back into the right. Whatever's left of myself.
We're good.
All right, you're like kind of hanging out by the wreckage of the cell.
I have nothing. I have no gear, and I'm supposed to be here.
The front of your cell has now been opened. Oh, as the guards have come in and out.
Can I get my stuff?
Yeah, there's no one there now.
I'm going to go get armored up. Okay.
Yeah, you grab all your stuff. It takes you a few minutes to do, but kind of once you come back, You're now witnessing this fully equipped again. Now, you notice that the witch hunter's combat with this ghost has a couple peculiarities about it. The ghost is singularly focused on the witch hunter, and the witch hunter is defending himself one hand with his silver sword, and the other hand he kind of is unequipped, but he's trying to like punch and grapple with it, but that hand just sweeps right through the ethereal form of the ghost as if nothing were there. But his silvered sword actually connects with it and bites into it. You can hear the ghost scream in pain as the silvered blade captures the ethereal essence of it as if it were flesh. Now, between that and the intoned prayers of the priest of Mor, the ghost is ultimately dealt with. The ghost fades away, the flames trickle back down, and the magistrates officially call a break so that order can be restored and those injured in the stampede and fear of the crowds can receive medical attention. Now, Hubkind begins to stammer about and work his way back, cursing himself and cursing the past and past deeds as he works his way back over towards the... he's hanging out kind of over by you, Manny Petty, over by kind of the wreckage amongst the crowd as he kind of tends to himself.
Okay. Go over and see how he's doing. Ask how I can help.
He's cursing himself and he says he should have known that that ghost, he recognized it. It was a witch he had burned some years ago here in this very spot, and he points to the center of the arena, and he says his record of accuracy for putting someone to fire has been strong throughout his many years as in service of Sigmar, but he admits that some of them haven't been as accurate as others, and suspects that may have been a vengeful spirit for maybe a wrongly accused victim. He suspects maybe it's time he hang up his hat.
And what a wonderful hat it is.
He takes it off and looks at it. Probably something he'd normally be really proud of, and he kind of like looks at it with a little bit of disgust.
So what are you going to do?
Chews on his lower lip for a while and says, he says his eyes have now turned to a larger, more substantial prey, and you can tell that out of the corner of the eye, he's looking at the Graven.
What? The witch hunter is?
I will,
I'll step in front of her.
Yeah, you kind of be like...
Yeah.
He catches your eye, too, and he says, interesting new crowd she's, with these days. Tell me about yourself, halfling.
Well, I came to service in the Graven. We had a opportunity to help her in a situation. Obviously, this trial by battle. And here we are. What are your intentions?
Well, it is long known that the Graven and her family throw rather ostentatious parties. Some would say a little too much so.
Is that a crime?
Are you over there?
Mm-hmm. I'm in front of the... Well, aren't I in front of the Graven?
Yeah, and they're off like by the rubble, kind of off in the crowds.
Oh, I thought he was standing by the Graven.
He was, and then he went over to join, or kind of off to the side to kind of get a breather. And you were, okay. And let me see here. Let me find him. Pocket, blood, innocence. He says that, it's no secret at this point that the Van Damenblatt's death was... is accused to have been by poisoning or witchcraft. And if witchcraft is involved, that is something I am keenly interested in. Certainly the rumors of the Countess's excess have long concerned me, and I've decided to observe the trial to make up my own mind on the matter.
I think it's good to keep your mind open on this one, sir, as not only have we run into an issue with poison a few nights back at the
Three Feathers Inn.
Thank you. But I was recently framed of the same, and we've seen none of the witchcraft that you're worried about here anywhere around. And we've been with the Graven and her people for the last few days. No witchcraft at all, but lots and lots of poison. So
he takes note of it mentally. And makes sure not to really let much of his face show what he's actually thinking. He's had years and years of experience of maintaining a...
So he's stoning
face.
Me.
He's stoning you, but you can tell he's taking in your and weighing the credibility of your statement versus everything else that he's heard up to this point and his own opinions. And he nods and says, well, we shall see. Now order is finally restored, and the last of the injured are carried off to the Temple of Shalia, and the magistrates give the signal for the bout to restart once again.
Does the other guy heal in between these stoppages as well?
You don't know, but I do.
I mean, does he look like
he... He does not look much worse for wear at this point.
Even after being poisoned and going through rounds of battle?
Do you still have the darts?
It's a good question. When they put all my stuff in the evidence locker, or the witness, did they put the poison in there with it?
It's in there with it.
I would have collected that as well for certain.
Okay, so you have three darts with a... Some kind of poison on it.
I know what it is.
Okay.
I'm familiar with it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Where'd they go? As everything, as order's kind of getting restored and the bout is about to restart, a couple hooded figures who, who would recognize this? I think, actually, Manny Petty, you recognize these two individuals as the ones who placed the cushion?
Yes.
You notice them working their way through the crowd, working, kind of getting themselves up to the opposite side of the arena as the stands, where like Bernie and the nobles are sitting.
Okay, quick question. When I was looking out at the thing, obviously I couldn't hear from the distance, but did I notice Bernie freaking out about the pillow and the grab and throw on the pillow? Was that like a big deal, or was that just kind of off to the side and I didn't notice it?
I'll leave that up to Bernie.
Because if I noticed it, then I could have asked her about the pillow. Hey, I saw these assholes earlier. Excuse me. These guys earlier with the pillows that gave me the shine in me. And I noticed you threw you had an issue with the pillow. What was going on? I could now figure that all out. I just want to make sure that I actually would know that.
I have embraced court theatrics. So, yes, I had made a fairly big deal about it.
Okay.
And I brought it to the magistrates.
So there was actually, yeah, that's right. There was a discussion.
So I would have known, okay, so I knew about the pillow. So I will then point out to my compadres, those are the guys that planted the pillow.
So you're still they're on the opposite side of the arena as you, but you see these two individuals, you're like, that's them again.
Well, I'm not going to do it like, hey, everyone, I'll go to Bernie and say, Bernie, those are the guys with the pillow.
Okay.
Yeah, and as you're pointing it out to her, you see one of them from within their cloak pull out a long cylinder. It almost looks like a blowgun. It
looks like a blowgun. Shh.
And it gets raised. Like one stands in front of them, so it's kind of obscured with like his arms off to the side to make a little like shooting window. And you see the blowgun get leveled, and it's pointing in your general direction, Bernie.
Are you actively alerting me? Or?
Oh, we're talking at this point. I'm running over.
So I've spotted them because he's pointed them out.
I'm pointing at them.
You see them just in time to see the little glint of a metal tube, blowgun kind of get revealed between their cloak.
And they're how far away from me?
Let's call it 30 or 40 feet.
Is there anything to hide behind?
Other than me.
No, I mean, like, is there, like, you know,
any like a little banister?
Like
or something?
A banister.
There is a banister, but it's not solid. It's like a board with, like, a cross slat of wood.
Okay.
Make a decision quick, because.
I'm going to start screaming.
What are you screaming?
I'll scream. Assassins! Assassins! Poison! I don't know.
So this happens.
And then I'm going to start moving. I'm going to do Dorian Finn stretch dance. Yeah.
Okay. You start all that just in time as the crowd begins a commotion. And you can't quite see what happens, but you do catch the glint of a green feathered projectile kind of like with a little bit of an arc fly its way across the arena.
Yeah.
And it happens so fast it's hard to even see.
Yeah.
But.
Do I dodge? Can I dodge?
Give me a roll. You've, according to my dice, you've already been hit unless you get something extraordinary.
What?
They got a really good roll.
Is this a melee or?
There's a lot of penalties, but they got a good roll.
You get to roll, get your dodge.
Yeah.
It's
a basic skill.
Yeah.
Basic.
First column near the bottom.
Oh. Oh, but I don't have agility. Oh no. Can I roll something other than dodge?
No.
This is so bad. Oh no.
Right. You see it, you know it's coming, and you do everything you can to get out of the way. But you do the Dorinfen stretch.
Does the Scooby Doo and goes forward.
And you kick your legs up into the air side to side. But your right leg catches a small metal dart in your calf.
Oof.
And the figures in the crowd are now obscured by the commotion and chaos that has been caused by you screaming out. I need page 306 of the rulebook, if you would, Jay. If you could give me the Black Lotus. Unless, Dougie, if you've got it.
The deadly plant grows in Southland jungles and is used for blade venom. Victims who suffer at least one wound from a sap-coated blade immediately take two poisoned conditions. Resisted with the difficulty of negative 10 endurance.
Negative 10. Here's your two poison conditions, Bernie.
I'm going to mental note to add them to my grudge book.
Nice.
Which I don't have on me currently. It's in the same place my shield was.
Oh, the shield you didn't bring with you today?
Well, who's gonna bring a shield to court?
I'm not judging. I'm just pointing it out for the listeners.
I've got my like.
Why would you never go out without it?
I don't like. I've got my stake. Yeah,
never again will she leave home without.
I know, right?
All right.
Like, you're supposed to be safe in a court of law.
So you cry out, clutching your knee or your thigh, rather, pulling out the dart. I assume you show it to the Graven and anybody else who managed to listen. The bout is stopped yet again to some jeers and boos from the crowd, and while the dart is examined, guards are dispatched into the crowd to try and find the attackers. But as time rolls on, all they come up with is the discarded blowpipe. Now, you suffer two wounds from your poison and have an attempt. You can now attempt to recover from it, right?
Okay.
So, at the end of the first round, you suffer two wounds and get to make, I believe it's an endurance check for poison? Poison. Once the poison condition is gone, remove poison condition with a successful endurance test. Each success level removes one of your conditions. You can also use a heal test.
Okay, so I can roll?
Mm-hmm. Is there a difficulty level on the heart, or on the Black Lotus?
No.
Okay, so challenging zero.
I fail.
Okay, so the poison lingers for another round. So, meanwhile, you feel your face starting to flush and heat up.
Mm-hmm.
And the Graven looks at you and you can see she's got a look of concern on your face. And she's saying you're starting to look darker. Your skin is blackening.
Lovely.
I'm sorry, not your face, because it's on your feet. So let's call it, like, you know, your legs are starting to, like, the skin is, and your blood flow is starting to spread.
Well, there's nothing I can do about that.
I think we need a doctor.
Yeah.
All right, 12:45 rolls around.
Can I seek out a physician?
Yeah.
The Graven
calls for one. She actually has one on staff who runs up to attempt to tend to you. He's working, trying to get the poison. He's kind of like asking you to remove your pants so he can get to the wound. Hopefully you're wearing underwear and breeches. He starts investigating the wound, but can't quite make sense of it yet. You suffer another round of poison and can attempt to push it back yourself.
I succeed. I succeed with one.
You can give me one of those poison conditions back, and the physician manages to cure the other one.
Oh, sweet!
And now you look at your leg with your like exposed leg. Now that your like pants are pushed aside there, and your skin is black where it struck you, and that black kind of like with little tendrils has spread its way like up to your knee and down to your ankle. But seems to have stopped spreading there.
I have I have 3 healing drafts. Will those help me?
A healing draft can be used to recover.
I think I couldn't find anything in heal that said it would deal with a poison.
Yeah, it's not going to deal with the poison, but it would deal. The poison's gone now, but the wounds you suffered are still in place.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I think I can attempt to heal her then, huh?
Can I do it to somebody else? You're not. Yes, you can, absolutely, but you're not permitted to right now.
I'm stuck in my.
You're stuck in
quarters.
The arena and the holding position.
Okay.
So as that calms itself down, the magistrates make another attempt to restart the trial, signaling the champions to take their positions as once more, and the magistrate raises his handkerchief and quickly lets it go, signaling the bout to begin again.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And don't forget, you're charging in. You get your bonus.
Yeah, I gave that to myself, so...
Get back here!
I have a succession of 7.
Nice. Woo!
Wait, so... Now... Let me ask you this. So by damaging, I can use that 8 instead,
yes,
right?
Yes, you can, because of your ability.
Okay, so then that's... Wow. So wait, do I use that instead of the strength bonus?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
no,
so...
No, you keep your strength bonus, your success levels equal.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so then... Wow, okay, so that's going to be 17.
There we go.
Whoa.
There's a hit. All right, he staggers with that one, a little taken aback by it, not really expecting that coming from the elf. He redoubles his efforts, but is you can tell he's being a little more cautious, playing about the fighting arena, using his footwork a little more to his advantage here. He scores a... Gosh darn it, drops it again.
What did Hack do?
What is what?
The other profile that it has. So if it does damaging plus another thing, it triggers both, right? Because it's got damaging and hack as its
profile. Oh, I don't know
profile.
What hack is. Yeah, we should check that one.
Hacking weapons have heavy blades that can hack through armor with horrific ease. If you hit an opponent, you damage a struck piece of armor or shield by 1 point, as well as wounding the target.
Okay, so I'll try and account for that on some of our hits here. So I'm going to give you 1 more point of damage you would have done to him.
Okay.
Assuming maybe you had wounded some armor in some of those prior hits.
Okay.
So he comes back at you. I already rolled. I got a positive 5.
Oh. I'm positive 5.
All right, and then he wins the tie, though. So that you lose your advantage.
Yep.
And he comes in at you for 10 points of damage.
Okay.
What I'm noticing here is swords and heavy armor result in a lot of 1 points of damage.
They do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Until you get that one solid hit that really knocks them down. Okay, so then that's you.
I failed.
By how much? Because he zeroed out.
By 1.
By 1. All right. He gains an advantage. You lose all yours. And he comes back at you with an aggressive attack. He has 2 success levels.
Oh.
Oh, make that 4.
Success by 3.
By 3, so that's plus 1. You have 11 damage coming at you. Alright. But 2 rounds later...
Something else happens.
Assistant Magistrate Gerhard Utriel suddenly stands up, his face a mask of horror, as his arm stretched out towards the crowd across the arena. The 3 of you can easily see who he's pointing at, and remember, it is the same magistrate who had argued with the bounty hunter Ursula Kopfeld earlier in the day. Scanning the crowd, you find her standing towards the back with a small sleeping child in her arms. On opposite sides of the arena. Hannah! Bawls the magistrate, rushing down from the stands and running across the ring where the champions have just begun the fight. The herald quickly stops the bout once more, to more boos and catcalls from the crowd, as the magistrate crosses the ring and tries to push his way through the crowd to the other side. Ursula, already running towards a horse that is hitched to a post nearby. Right,
am I anywhere near her?
I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
You are over by the the wall still, last I heard.
I'm not so sure about the whole kidnapping thing, I'd like to see what she's up to.
She mounts the horse with the child over her shoulder, seemingly unconscious, not her, but the child, and the magistrate bawls and cries, screaming out Hannah as Ursula rides off down the street, getting lost quickly in the crowd.
I'm assuming that's her child.
The magistrate is a man, I have to assume, right?
Yeah.
And he looks like Ursula just kidnapped his girl.
Gotcha.
The magistrate storms back into the arena, calling for the watch to be mobilized. But it might be too late for the escaping bounty hunter on that alone. The distraught Eurytrial is led away weeping and raving, while the herald announces that Mother Petra Steinmetz, the High Priestess of Verena, will have to take his place for the remainder of the duel. Now, it's been an hour since the duel commenced. Now, once again, the champions are urged to take their place, and the white handkerchief is raised once again. And at last, the bout gets underway in earnest, and the crowd cheers forth for both champions, less interested in the causes they represent than in their ability to spill blood. And the dignitaries in the stand watch closely, alert for any breach in the rules. Clerks make notes, and the two nobles shoot each other glances that are smug and venomous by turns whenever one of their champions wounds the other. Now, as the combat continues, we're going to do another round of combat. Jay, you're up.
Success by 3.
All right, he fails by 4.
Okay. So that's going to be 12 damage.
12, all right. You can see distinctly there is blood dripping out through some of the gaps of his armor, and he's looking weakened. He's put up a good fight, but he's starting to waver. The scarred watchmen who have been maintaining the grounds and the security around the area suddenly step into the ring. Where'd they go? They're around here somewhere. Did you lose a die back there too?
Yes. The security steps into the ring? Is that what you said?
Yes. Three of them walk up behind the. You lose a die.
I lost it.
That's okay. Wait,
we'll get it later.
Nice, thank you.
Actually, I'm sorry. They begin to step in the ring, surrounding the ring in kind of like a security perimeter.
Okay.
As the fight continues.
Okay.
You're up.
That is a success of 3.
Minus 2.
Okay, so that's going to be 12 damage.
Alright. The champion falls down to one knee, and he wavers for a moment. You question whether or not he has the ability to stand. Do you want to finish him off?
Yes.
Are you going for the death or to incapacitate?
Well, I guess that this wasn't supposed to be to the death, so
the fighter cannot fight any longer.
Okay, so then we're going to incapacitate him.
All right, how are you going to do it? He's at your mercy right now.
I'm going to put the blade to his throat and say you can... I don't know, can they surrender at this point?
You put it down there. He staggers as you do that, and he's just on the cusp of passing out, and just slumps over onto his side, unconscious on the ground.
Then I'm just gonna put the point of my sword in the ground, and I'm just gonna kind of stand.
The crowd cheers, and the 8 guardsmen, the 8 watchmen, begin walking in towards the center of the arena, and the crowd's cheering. And they walk up there. 3 of them walk over to the unconscious champion. One pulls his head up by his hair, pulls out a dagger, slits his throat. Blood pours out all over. The other five attempt to do the same to you, approaching you.
That ain't happening.
Well, the blood pours onto the ground. The remaining three begin slitting his throat again and again and again until ultimately his head is severed from his body.
What the hell?
The blood from his body and the severed head seeps into the stone cobbles, working its way down the little rivulets of the in between each of the cobbles. The other five approach you, daggers drawn, swords drawn, and you can see each one has a distinctive scarred marking across their body. Then, so you're not allowing this to happen?
To them to kill me? No, I'm not going to allow them to kill me.
The watchmen who approach you cry blood for the blood god. Now, anybody who's not familiar with this already can make a quick intelligence check.
Are they corn?
I succeed.
Right,
I see a couple successes out there.
Right,
so you recognize this war cry as a profane war cry of Khorne, the blood god. And you also make note that Khorne's sacred number is 8. And each of these 8 individuals works their way around the arena. Now, the remaining watchmen pause in front of you with their daggers, pushing their own throats up and applying the daggers to their own throats. Pushing their necks up, applying the daggers to their own throats in a grotesque display of butchery, slitting their own throats, allowing their blood to spill out across the arena.
Whoa!
How many of them are there?
There were 8.
Sounds like we're down to 5.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry if I didn't get this correctly. All of them just did that.
All 8 of them? All 8? Okay, I thought it was the remaining 5.
Okay.
So I may have said that. All 8 in unison scream that out and slay their own throats, splaying blood everywhere. And as the crowd gapes in horror, the blood on the ground begins to draw in on itself, rippling and flowing together.
I'm getting out of that blood.
Oh, dude.
I am getting out of that blood. And I am, like, backing away back towards my tent.
All right, so you're both. These watchmen no longer exist. Agent with the viper's gone. This guy's dead. This guy's really dead. Kopfeld is gone. Was cleaning up the arena a little bit here. And in their place, as the blood begins to coalesce into a physical form, it begins to rise up into the air, but not like in the sky, like it's on the ground level still.
It's going to manifest.
And manifests itself into a humanoid form with large twisted black horns, long sharp teeth. And you find yourself facing 2 blood letters of Khorne.
Oh, I've killed many of these.
The demons attack anything close to them. They care not from whence the blood flows, just that it does.
Well, I think they just got a lot of blood. 9 people just died.
Oh, that's what summoned them. Now they get to play.
Oh, okay.
The arena goes into utter chaos as the townsfolk run in every direction. You guys are left to deal with this problem.
Of course they are.
I will go looking for the witch hunter.
He's nearby.
All right. All right, Matthias, we got one more mission before you hang up the hat.
He puts it on, tugs it slightly.
Let's go.
The big feathers kind of like flow in the wind. He pulls out his silver sword. It's a long, thin silver blade. Bernie, what are you doing up on the stands?
Wishing I'd brought the rest of my armor.
There's weapons in the pavilion?
More weapons in the pavilion.
I'm
going to
go arm myself. Yeah.
Or there's the, what is it, the rapier?
Yeah,
that
there's...
There's a champion
rapier
is using.
And a sword.
Yep. I'll take up the rapier.
All right, you go running off to go acquire a weapon for the first turn. Madison, what are you up to?
Well, I'm still, I guess, in that general vicinity of the... stand.
You are just on the outskirts of the arena.
Right. Within, 30 feet or so? And so how close are the blood letters to Dornfin?
Like
feet.
Feet.
Okay. But they seem to be focused in on his general area.
And there's he two is current. Yeah, there's two of them, and Dornfin is currently the only one in reach. Okay. But they don't seem to care much. They are going to just eat what they can.
With whatever's close.
Now they are equipped with like large horns. They have a crude, sharp and unnatural black blade. Looks like maybe of obsidian, but not that you would know what it's actually made of because it's otherworldly and demonic. They also have some cool, weird, and nasty abilities. So, they also cause fear. I need a cool check from anybody witnessing this. Remember cool?
Yeah.
Remember that one, Manny?
Ooh, I am super cool.
Two levels of success.
Three levels of success.
I fail.
All right, so someone here is feared.
You?
I'm feared! You? Once again! No, the last time I fell asleep, huh?
Yep.
Yes.
You until you pass your fear check, which you can check again next turn, you suffer minus one success level to all tests affecting the source of fear, and you cannot move closer to them without making an additional challenging cool test.
Okay.
If it comes closer to you, you also have to make a cool test or get broken, which you don't want. Broken would be bad. All right, what's your initiative?
55.
There's a 60. They're coming closer to you. All right, cool check again. You want to pass
nope.
this one.
I didn't pass it.
Oh,
you
no.
might want to consider fate or something. You don't want to get broken in the face of two bloodletters where they're the only ones attacking you.
I have to do what now?
Spend a fate point.
Or a fortune point. A fortune is the less... A fortune lets you just reroll.
Okay, then
you get,
I guess
those are the ones
fortune.
You get to spend freely.
Let's do the fortune then.
You get several per turn.
Now we're good.
All right,
succeeded by two.
So you're still feared by them, which you can test again next turn. But you do not suffer broken, which would have been really bad. That would mean you'd like pee your pants and run away.
After I just fought in a battle, I'm gonna pee my pants and run away.
Let's just say this is you getting fatigued after all the fighting. You thought it was all good. You let your guard down, and things got worse. All right, the first one's coming at you. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Critical hit with four successes.
I'm a five success.
Shouldn't have dropped
me. Five success.
Oh, he missed?
Yeah.
Dang, I really wanted that. But he still critical hit you. So let's get a critical chart out.
Wait, I thought Jay won that.
He did. He won the roll.
Yeah.
With the critical.
No, didn't we discuss that with Chris?
You have to succeed
you win.
The roll.
It
okay.
doesn't matter if you crit. If you lose, you lose.
Okay, let's go with that then. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. I'm just going to use a couple abilities here. I need to familiarize myself. Okay, then the other one.
I get a bonus for...
Yes, you won an opposed
okay,
roll.
Right.
This one, he's at minus four.
But I don't want to battle
I'm,
those scary things.
Plus one.
All right, that's another advantage for you. All right, both scary things did not hurt you this time. Dornfin, you're up. Oh, hold on. So Dornfin, who's got the next initiative roll after Dornfin?
I have 40.
35.
Bernie and Manny. All right.
Nice.
All right, he fails by four.
I'm a success by, with that plus two, I'm a success by five. I'm going to use the damaging effect from it. To make it by 7 for 16.
16. Their demonic aura does not stop them from taking all damage. So how much was that? 16?
16.
Let's see, and they have 5 plus 3, so they have 8 armor. 16 minus 8 is another 8. You knock him hard, and you cleave through his body. Black blood squirts everywhere. They seem not to care in the slightest as he slavers and frenzies his way back into combat with you. Bernie, you're up.
You
make it to the weapon, and you have equipped yourself.
Which one of them is, like, less scary?
One of them was hurt, and one of them is not hurt.
And
you've already passed your is it scary test, so neither of them are scary in mechanics. In game mechanics.
Oh, dear Lord. Okay. I'm gonna go after the one that's hurt.
Yep. All right. Finish taking advantage for the charge as you scream, running into combat.
And this advantage gives me what
plus
again?
Plus 10 to your
plus
roll.
10.
Plus 10. Okay.
He gets 0.
I am at plus 2.
Plus 2. All right. So you make it through plus 2. What is the damage?
I don't know what the rapier...
Oh, rapier is going to be 10, I think. Or no, you said it was 4, right, Jog?
So the rapier one is... That's strength bonus plus 4.
Strength bonus plus 4, so that's 8 total.
8 total, alright.
Plus your success levels.
Which was 2, right?
Yes.
So this was against the wounded one?
Yes.
Alright, you give him a good stab. He takes, does he take it? He does not. You stab him, but you're sure you stabbed him. The sword went into him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pulled it out, and nothing happened.
Great.
His ethereal, demonic body repaired itself.
Mm-hmm.
You feel the chill of the demonic aura around it, kind of like sinking into your skin. You feel unnatural.
Mm-hmm.
Madison.
Oh, from my... So if I'm still back by the stands, I'll get to an elevated position
perched.
And stay far out of damage. I would be, well be within 40 feet.
Yep.
Oh, someone's going down. I got a 6.
All right.
That would be four levels of success.
All right, so how much damage are we looking at?
Well, with my staff sling, we're looking at 11, 12. 12 plus, I get pummel. So I happen to hit it in the head.
You did.
Oh, then it's, I get pummel on top of all that. So 12 plus pummel.
I'm going to stop you there.
Okay.
Only because you hit it in the head hard, squared right between the eyes, and it looked at you as if nothing happened. As the hole in its head reforms itself. No damage done.
Oh.
All right.
Can we run away?
The wounded one takes note of its two new assailants and attacks the closest one it can. This is going to be Bernie. So, shared roll, positive 4.
Positive 2.
All right, so that's 2 coming at you. So that's going to be with his sword, 11 points of damage.
And I mitigate that by what?
Armor to your left arm. You hit the left arm, and it's a critical, actually.
Anything else?
Your toughness bonus and your armor.
Yeah.
My toughness is 3. What? That's it? Toughness is 3... So 5 total.
And you also get, Bernie, a deep cut. You suffer 3 additional wounds.
Okay.
And 2 bleeding conditions. But remember, if you don't want this critical hit, you can punch your armor down by once as well.
I think I have to.
All right, and I'm going to put this picture out here to show us what we're fighting.
So you said it was my left arm?
Yep. Left arm gets knocked down by 1. You can ignore the critical.
Okay.
Alright, so before, now since we're...
Number 2...
We are not equipped to battle this thing.
Number 2 is going to go after, Dorinfin. That's not a good... Minus 4.
Oh, yeah, I am...
You parried
plus
that
7.
Ain't no thing. Alright, Dorinfin, you're up.
Okay. Wait.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot the
We
witch
have hunter. A badass with a silver sword. Let's get him involved in this whole thing.
Yeah.
Witch hunter jumps in.
That guy with the
witch
hat
hunter.
And a silver sword.
He's battling the one that has not been wounded yet, and he does...
I got my money on the witch hunter.
He stabs it once with the silver sword. It seems to be doing the job.
Yeah, we don't have that kind of weapon.
It sizzles and flames up as he pulls it out of him, and a gout of black smoke erupts from the bloodletter's chest.
I'll stand back and say, I'm glad
Dorinfin.
I called that guy.
how do I get one of those?
Okay,
swords?
So that's going to be a crit on.
So he's at
plus
zeros.
5.
Alright, so he's 0.
Okay, so I'm plus 5 with a crit
mm-hmm.
for That's going to be 14 damage.
Okay, the crit's to the leg. Let's see if we get something extra.
Cut his leg off.
So do you have something special that makes him take these hits? That, like,
yeah, I have a talent on the crit thing that I crit on.
No.
He has a demonic aura that on an 8 or higher, he ignores all damage taken from an attack.
We're hitting him too hard.
So it's just bad luck that the two of your attacks hit, and he happened to like get his saving throw. It's a magical armor that he has. Plus 2 damage to whatever you just said.
I said 14, so 14, 16.
So 16. All right, that blood letter... there's actually an unstable element here, too, where if they fail a combat... That blood letter, you cleave into him, and... It doesn't, like, cleave through him and die. Something else unnatural happens. His body just starts to cease to exist, dematerializes in front of you, and moments later, there's nothing left of it, as if it were never there.
Okay.
Like, its ichor and stuff is still on the ground, but its physical form is gone.
But we've gotten rid of one.
There's still another one, though.
Is his sword still there?
No.
No.
Bernie, you're up.
I'll take a swing.
Positive 1.
Whoa, positive 4.
There
you
go.
Right, so you have a net of 3.
Net of 3. So that is 11 plus. So my.
Damn it.
You
hit him too hard.
11.
He does not get his save.
Oh, sweet.
So that means he is hurting. Maddie.
Same thing. Double sling. Oh my god, I threw a 10. Alright.
Alright, that's a good shot.
Come on.
To his head again.
Oh my.
Oh, I'm
getting good at that.
Dual shots on the head. Well done.
Nice.
Alright, did he get a save? Or should I do the math?
No, you're good.
Okay, so it's a dozen plus pummel. What pummel does specific?
Pummel causes stun to him if he fails a test. Okay. Let's see. He does fail that test, so you stun. He essentially loses his next turn.
Nice.
How much was it?
12? A dozen.
12. All right. So that brings us back to Doran Finn then.
Okay.
Or the Witch Hunter, depending on who wants to do a kill.
All right, so I'm at a success of 9.
Success of 4.
Okay.
Success.
Yeah, I can't miss.
Don't worry about the math. You got, unless he gets
you.
I've never had
it. He does not get a demonic save, so he dies.
Okay.
Yay!
All right, he dematerializes as if he were never there. Whatever gateway had opened up into the realm of chaos appears to have closed.
Cool.
The commotion around the arena dies down. Order is slowly restored. Once the demons are destroyed, the surviving magistrates announce that they are prepared to render their final verdict. The outcome is clear enough. The champion still standing when the renegade watchman came forward wins. And they announce Doran Finn and the Ambleston party are successful.
Yeah!
The Graven stands up, clearly cheered and happy. The Damenblatt's party leaves off, fuming and cursing the Ambleston name.
Of course.
The Graven's champion, victorious Maria Ulreich, is free to leave Kemperbad. In the following days, her party travels with her to Nuln, there to report the outcome of the trial to the Grand Countess Emanuela von Leibowitz herself. Matthias Hubkin, the witch hunter, still alive, offers to have a stake and firewood ready within the hour to handle any of the other heretics and witches and anybody else who is found guilty of the demonic ritual that took place. Bernie, you are able to claim through your research amongst the law books that the original charge was imprecise and requires clarification.
The original charge on who?
The original charge of against the Graven.
Oh, okay.
The complaint had accused the Graven of causing a death by poisoning or by witchcraft, but the trial by combat did not establish which of those means was used. Now, while witchcraft would be punishable by burning, the penalties for murder by poison are quite different, and in this case of a noble, commutable to a fine. You are able to entreat the magistrates to accept a payment of bail and hear further arguments at a later time. And any surviving magistrates backed up by Mother Steinmetz of the Cult of Verena agree to your motion, and both parties are to return to Kemperbad at some later date.
Wait, I'm confused. She's still fined even though we won the trial?
Well, there's a variety of other elements at play here, like the...
So because we won, we triggered other things to happen.
I think essentially what it's saying is that this matter is settled, and any other matters tied to it or that have spawned off of this are getting kind of wrapped up into the legal turmoil that is the legal system of the Empire. But the Graven assures you that any further proceedings can be delayed almost indefinitely, and that the court will almost certainly find in her favor, especially if the characters testify on the murder of Bruno Falk at the Three Feathers, and any other attempts on the Baron's agents to sabotage the trial. Effectively, the trial is over.
Okay.
You find yourselves riding down the barge, having left Kemperbad, working your way down to the city of Nuln, as the victors of the Graven, as she will bring you back home, present you to the Elector Countess, and is looking forward to the after parties that follow the Black Powder Week. So with that, the day at the trial is concluded, and we have some experience points to hand out. Let me know when you're ready.
1 second.
Wait.
Let me just wait for Layla to get ready here.
Okay.
Alright, so 50 points if the Graven wins.
Yay!
You guys get that one. 50 points for each time the Damenblatt's agent was foiled. Did we foil the agent? We foiled the agent's attempt to get poked in the butt by the cushion.
Correct.
You...
Was the snake a foiled attempt?
The snake... I'm going to call that a foiled attempt. They did plant the snake, but you were able to survive it.
Right.
I think with some...
And that's worth how much?
That's going to be 100 points total.
50 each.
So yeah, you get
each
50
for each event. Yeah.
For the whole group or those that all were involved in it?
Fair enough. I'm going to give 50 to you.
Okay.
Doran Finn and 50 to you, Bernie.
Okay.
Anybody who participate in the combat of dealing with the blood letters gets 50 points.
Okay.
Sweet.
If the Ordo Ultima cultists were thwarted in their attempts, which they were not, they shot at you and were able to do a few things. 20 points for helping capture the cultists. Did not happen. 20 points for helping deal with the ghost. Nobody was really capable of it, so that didn't happen. 5 points for helping the wounded in the crowds. 10 to 30 points for helping recover the magistrate's daughter, Hannah.
Well, we weren't, given opportunities to do these things.
And 20 points for capturing Ursula Kopfgeld. All right, that's what we got. And then you get 100.
And then we get our standard 100.
Standard 100.
So we got 250.
All right.
I got 250.
Good night, everyone. We'll catch you next time
on
A Night at the Opera.